Navigating the world of marketing, regardless of where you are in your business journey, is hard. We're pulled in different directions by different gurus telling us how we just won't succeed unless we use a specific platform or method. And it's easy to get either stuck on a treadmill, feeling like you're not heading anywhere, or paralyzed by confusion to even be able to get started. Anyway, the purpose of this episode is to change that. I genuinely enjoy marketing now, not because it's easier as such. I probably produce more content now than I ever have, but because I've learned some things along the way that have made it easier. And I hope that by me giving you a heads up today, I can save you some of the struggles that I faced. Welcome to the Upgrade Your Education Business podcast. I'm your host, Samantha, and I'm so pleased you're here. As an education business owner myself and a former teacher, I understand the nuances that only apply to us. So in this podcast, I share fluff-free, tailored and actionable ideas that you can mold to suit your needs. If you'd like to take this conversation further, please do reach out. I would love to meet you. And finally, it would mean the world to me if you could leave a review. That way, you'll be helping me help more people. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy. So I'm usually quite reluctant to label things as mistakes because I do think you learn something from every situation. But I'm going to stick to the word mistakes with this episode because I could have done without making them. So I'm sharing them with you today so that hopefully you don't make them or you find a different route if you think you might be making them right now. I know a lot of my clients talk about the overwhelm, so if you're someone who works with me, I hope this complements the training and advice that I've shared with you. This month, we're focused on attracting students to group classes in the Tutors Mastermind, so I'm going to make sure that we balance those actions from that training with ways to make the marketing side manageable, and this episode will help. My first tip is to stop trying to be everywhere. Yes, I've been there and I've done that. Not only is it hard work, but we rarely need quite so many places to be successful. And let's not forget, it's one thing to be top of mind, but quite another to flood our audience with our content. With my tutoring business, I remember getting a steady stream of inquiries through Facebook, specifically my Facebook business page. But for some reason, well, I know the reason and I'll talk about that shortly, I thought I needed to be in more places, so I set up a YouTube channel and an Instagram account. I'll admit the YouTube channel was useful for me to signal people to some video content, which gave them the confidence to work with me at times, but still, my aim to make it a success was totally pointless, as was my Instagram account, because the irony was I didn't actually have space to say yes to more students. But I was caught in this mentality of feeling like, surely I should be doing more. Now, it didn't take long for me to feel overwhelmed and to struggle to stay on top of producing content for so many platforms. And, you know, as much as I am a real fan of YouTube, creating video content, editing it, and all the rest of it, it takes so much time. So I took the decision to stop with the other platforms and just stick to the one that was consistently working. As I mentioned earlier, that was my Facebook business page. One thing I did add to the mix, though, was email marketing. And if I were growing my tuition business, that and Facebook would be the two platforms I would focus on, nothing else. So here's my advice, kind of an action point for you. Marketing is a long game and it's continuous. It has to be. So because it's continuous, it needs to be sustainable. So choose one core platform or method that your clients respond to and focus on that. Really triple down on that and treat all of the others as secondary nice to haves. I truly believe, and it's backed by real evidence from me and my clients, that it's better to focus on one marketing strategy and do it really, really well over trying to be everywhere and being unable to do any of it well or to sustain it. And just to add to that, look around you and see what opportunities you already have. I launched fully booked group classes in 2020, which were three classes of 15 students each, and part of it was offering a special discount, just a one-off discount, to my existing clients. Because my business clients often struggle with what to write with marketing content, I created 100 content prompts. So things like that, looking at opportunities that are in front of you right now, can really alleviate the pressure of always needing more people through the door. And therefore, you can relax with marketing, knowing that it's a long game, knowing that you're using it to stay top of mind and to build relationships, rather than thinking every single post needs to bring in sales. And linked to this, try to avoid taking too much advice. This is my second lesson learned. I'm not saying that you shouldn't seek advice or invest in support, but courses and coaches, including me, will always base advice on their experience and knowledge. Whereas the reality is, you learn the most through your clients and your audience. I mentioned earlier that there was a reason why I tried to be on more platforms, even though I didn't need to be. This was it. It was because I was taking action on too much advice. One person was telling me I needed Facebook groups, another was telling me I needed a YouTube channel, and so on. And I gained perspective when I realized, of course they would be pushing the benefits of specific platforms. Not only do their livelihoods depend on it, but they have proven success, so they really believe in it. But when you're trying to build your own marketing landscape, you need to be strategic, based on what works for you, your clients, and what's manageable. I'll give you an example of where going against advice actually yielded better results for my business. I've heard and taken various advice about email marketing. I've tried different strategies, all of which could have worked. But my simplified strategy is based on looking at what my audience actually respond to. My open rate, response rate, and unsubscribe rate dramatically improved when I sent fewer emails, less frequently. I went against the advice I was getting. But I looked at the data and that's what my audience prefer, so that needs to steer my decisions. So use advice that you get from professionals as a starting point. And if you work closely with a coach or a mentor, be sure to share your results so they can tweak their advice to what's working and not working for you, instead of being driven by their experience. Something I heard very early in my business journey that I have always held on to is that in sales and marketing, everything works and nothing works. So treat it as the experiment that it is and respond to your clients and your audience over recommendations from people who aren't in your business. Now, my third mistake was posting for the sake of it. A pattern that we all fall into is posting content just to get something out there. We sometimes decide on a plan and we stick to it without really thinking about the why, or at least we try to stick to it, but sometimes it doesn't have as much direction as it needs to have. Now, a thing to remember is that ultimately your audience is going to respond to good quality content, content they find useful and content they really connect with. And posting less frequently, but focusing on this quality, is more valuable than posting all the time, but with quality that's mediocre. So if you're feeling a bit aimless, I'll share something that I share with my paid clients. I've mentioned this before in this podcast because it's a really good place to start. Start by identifying three key things you want to be known for. Think beyond what you deliver and think more along the lines of what your clients need to know about you to decide if you're right for them. So as a business mentor, the kind of clients I'm compatible with need to know that I'm action focused. I'll challenge them and I'm good at helping people take a systematic approach so they stay accountable and so that they actually make progress. So it's no surprise that the majority of people who come to me say they want accountability and they want clarity and they want a structured way forward. But that isn't what everyone needs. It isn't the style that everyone connects with. So it's important that I show people these aspects of myself, and it gives my content a real focus. Instead of posting for the sake of it, I can circle around these things that I want to be known for, the things my clients need to know to decide whether or not to work with me. So start there, and couple it with the results you want to get right now. The more focused you can be, the better. So if you offer a few different things, like if you're a tutor and you have a few different group classes for different cohorts that you want to attract students to, try just taking one at a time. Focus on it for a month or two so that your messaging is really targeted, both in terms of people being able to decide if you're right for them and what to do next if they want to work with you. Taking this very intentional approach really makes marketing easier because you are no longer stumped by, what do I write? What results do I want? Instead, you know exactly what to write. You want to get known for those three things, and you know exactly what you're selling. My fourth mistake was working harder than I needed to. See, there are so many ways you can make things easier, and for some reason, for the longest time, I just wasn't taking them on board. So I'm going to get really practical now and share some actionable things you can do to make your marketing easier. The first thing is to batch create content. Instead of creating a plan that requires you to be current all the time, create evergreen content that can work at any time. Here's what I do. I have a whole load of evergreen content lined up. And when something happens that I want to share, I create that content, schedule it, and move one of my evergreen pieces to a later date. And on weeks where life just takes over and I don't have time to create something that's current, I already have the evergreen content pre-scheduled, so I always have something useful being published. Another thing to do is to repurpose content. And this is when you take one idea and you present it in different ways. Have a scan through some of my past podcast episodes because I do have episodes where I talk about repurposing in more detail. And if you're a masterminder, you can head to the Content That Converts section and I have in-depth training on exactly how to do this. You'll walk away with a strategy you can just implement straight away. Now, repurposing isn't just a great time saver, but it really strengthens your marketing because to get known for what we want to be known for, we can't just say things once and expect people to remember. We need to keep repeating ourselves. So, to create content fast, right now, go back to your past content and just repackage it. Present it in a slightly different way. Think about long-form pieces of content, for example, if you have any blog posts or videos, how could you repurpose that to a carousel, let's say in Instagram, or a static post in Facebook, or could you take a snippet from a video and publish it as a reel? Lots of different ideas. And if you struggle for ideas, fill your social media feed with a variety of interesting people, and not just social media, sign up for different newsletters from different industries. We don't need to create an echo chamber of people who are solely in our niches sharing similar content. By connecting with people from different niches, you get fresh inspiration. When I see something I like, I save it. And when I'm struggling with ideas, I go to my saved items and I just mold the idea or use it as a bit of inspiration to apply to me and my business. For instance, I recently saw a great this or that post on Instagram. You know, the ones where you're given two options and you choose. I loved the concept, so I created a design that was based on the this and that concept, but used it to address the perception that group classes are hard to fill because parents only want one-to-one lessons. And that was aimed directly at the group class course that I'm creating or have created, depending on when you're listening, for tutors. So there you have four mistakes that I have made in the past so that you don't have to. And I really hope you've walked away with some ideas. Remember that in this podcast, I do share lots and lots of ideas, but the most important thing is that you think about them and mold them to suit your business. Because things only work when we do things our way, because it comes naturally to us. That doesn't mean we shouldn't go outside of our comfort zone or experiment with different ways of doing things. Sometimes we have to do that to find our voice and our style. But do use these as little seeds of inspiration so that they grow into lots more ideas. And if you ever need any help, you know exactly where I am. The links to contact me are in the show notes. So thank you for spending your time with me for another week, and you'll hear from me on Wednesday. Would you like to take this discussion further? Perhaps you have some questions or you'd like more ideas on tailoring your business. If so, book a free discovery call through the link in the show notes.